This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Brad and Chad Show here on the Place to Be Nation Network. And now your hosts, Brad Woodling and Chad Campbell. Walking on a dream.
Alright, everybody, welcome back to, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Brad and Chad Show. And this is kind of an extra tie-in with the series we've been running on placetobenation.com, because this is also going to be a part of our WrestleMania Rewind series. And what we're doing today, the previous rewinds have kind of been looking at a specific WrestleMania. And then if you think back in the 297 episodes ago or so of the Place to Be podcast, they did a WrestleMania List-a-Mania episode. And we're going to kind of combine all those together today, and we are going to rank the WrestleManias from worst to first. And to do that, I needed two special people to help me out. Of course, my Brad and Chad sidekicks. First, let's bring in Mr. Brad Woodling. How you doing tonight, Brad?
Chad, I'm doing great. It's great to hear you again, back in the saddle, and a little bit of a special one-off Brad and Chad Show. We have had, there's been a little bit of a ground swelling for a return. So, you know, Ben Morse name-dropping it amongst some other podcasts. I get asked about it all the time. So I'm really glad that that we can do this.
The fans demanded it. So they this did. Is the Brad and Chad reunion tour. And also, we have Justin Rosero on the line. Mr. Rosero.
I was going to maybe play Big Papa for Brad after hearing WrestleMania 28, but we'll leave it.
Oh, really?
What's up, guys? This is cool. I'm actually in the studio now instead of being behind the glass for this episode.
Yeah. I am out in the forefront. No hiding behind us now.
I do want to give the Brad and Chad Show some love, though, because this is like the test kitchen show for all of the podcasts that came after it. The format, the Kevin Kelly Show, basically ripped off the Brad and Chad Show format, so.
We're like the Pete Best of the podcast genre.
And it's sad because I tell whoever will listen that, you know Kevin Kelly Show, that was originally the Justin Rosero, Brad Woodling, Chad Campbell brainchild. We know that was kind of us first. That's why, you know, so kudos to you, Mr. Rosero, because you helped kind of put that together.
No, you guys were great.
So before we get into listing the WrestleManias, this is WrestleMania season, which is exciting time for any wrestling fan.
Our anniversary of meeting each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But it's also a exciting time for the Place to Be Nation staff members, administrative staff members. Now, I've already been name-dropped for my child on the way, Parv. Spilled the beans on that one fairly quickly. And if you're a Facebook
friend of mine, I don't think she was even pregnant
mine,
yet when Paul said it.
He was at the conceivement, apparently, because he announced that very rapidly. But today, a little inside baseball, but as we're recording this podcast, we found out the gender today. And I'm happy to report that a male heir to the Place to Be Nation Brain Trust will be arriving. Little boy Campbell will be coming in September 2014. But that is not it. Brad, I think you also have a little piece of business to share with the audience here.
I do as well. My wife and I are expecting our first child. It's a little girl. And at least I hope she's little. It would be weird if she came out as an adult. But and we are due at the end of July. So we're 7 weeks ahead of Team Campbell. But we're still very, very close to each other on this one.
So an exciting time, don't know quite what the website and everything else is going to look like afterwards, but I'm
little
sure you'll...
Little Rotella Campbell is going to be very adorable.
let the naming begin with all the tie-ins. But let's get to the business at hand where we rank these WrestleManias, and we're calling this one in the ring, except for DDP Brad, who had to jot down some notes.
Yes, I have a color tier spreadsheet of different ones that I rank different ways. So I am
he's like the Rock. He's got his notes on his hand. So
yeah.
But so we're gonna rank the worst ones, and we're kind of just gonna throw out some suggestions.
We should clarify. We're not just ranking the worst ones. We're going worst to first. We're ranking all 29.
Worst
okay.
to first.
Well, you said we're ranking the worst ones. Like we're just gonna like the worst five or something. Now. We're doing all 29 here, baby.
Yeah, we're going worst to first, but starting with the absolute worst WrestleMania. Mm. So we'll throw out some suggestions, kind of hammer it out, and then have a definitive list by the end of the show, hopefully. So does anybody really have a suggestion for what they think the worst WrestleMania is? I mean, yes. I have a couple in mind, but I'm not partial.
I have one that I am partial to.
Okay.
WrestleMania 2.
Mm. And reasoning.
I don't think it's that good, and I think it's the worst WrestleMania of all time. No, I mean, there's one good match. Well, Hogan-Bundy is solid, but the only really good match besides that is Dream Team's Bulldog. Nothing else really captures my attention. There's a lot of short throwaway matches. You have matches under a minute. There's a couple serviceable house show level matches, but as a whole, I just don't think it's a show that's overly enjoyable. I can't think of many manias. I can't think of any I'd rather watch WrestleMania 2 over. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Brad, what was your suggestion? Was it
mine is WrestleMania 9.
Okay.
For the worst one. Now, it was tough because I do like the unique setting to it, but just overall looking at the matches and what we got out of that and everything that went on, it sunk at the bottom for me.
Let me ask you this, Brad.
Yeah.
How many matches on like 2 versus 9? I mean, you really think there's that many?
I think it's close. I mean, I don't want to get into like. I mean, I could go.
That's why we're
way.
Here, right? We don't want to not want to.
Well,
get
no,
into
I do want to get into it, but I mean, okay, like, I had tiered very close to each other. I had 9 a little bit worse. I thought that I like the Hogan Bundy main more than
Brett Yoko.
Brett
Yoko was a good match.
Brett Yoko, I like that part of it, but the Hogan piece after it and everything, I think that Bundy Hogan is. I like the build and match for that one. Chad,
Do you know Scott watched WrestleMania 9 with the football team? And
did you know he watched WrestleMania 2 on closed circuit TV? Oh,
okay. What is that? these were my two worst that I was batting back and forth. I mean, it's tough because I do think it's tough ranking the worst WrestleMania, but I do think Bulldogs versus Dream Team is probably the best match on either show, but I definitely think the setting of WrestleMania 9 is, a crap load cooler than Susan St. James and three locations and her, I don't know about this guy, Vince.
Well, that was going to be my wild card is the commentary.
Yes.
I mean, you get JR in his JR, Jim Ross prime, right? Coming right out of WCW, all fired up and spouting information left and right without really as much of the hyperbole we'd get in later years. Savage, who was great in 93 just for being, batshit insane. And Bobby, and still a motivated Bobby versus the bucket of sludge we get at WrestleMania 2. In the main event's called by Jesse Ventura, Lord Alfred Hayes, and Elvira. I mean, come on. it's like that's your WrestleMania main event. Jesse's doing play by play. He's got Lord Alfred and Elvira doing color. It's just it's a mess. Like I don't know. I just this is nothing about you have a 40-second match or whatever it was with Nikolai and Corporal Kirshner. Mr. T. Piper was all right, but even that doesn't really get that exciting at any point.
Yeah, I think if you're holding your hat on two, it's got to be the Funks match, the main event, Bulldogs Dream Team, and then maybe the Battle Royals. Kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, I like Steiner's Head Shrinkers at 9. I think it's a solid match. Tonka Sean's pretty good.
Tonka Sean was good.
Yeah, I don't think 9's it's disappointing for Mania. I don't think it's actively bad. To me, 2 is actively bad. There's so many trash waste of time matches on 2.
All right. So I think we'll put WrestleMania 2 at our number 29 show. It's the worst WrestleMania.
Is that all right with you, Brad?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. The announcing team is a good wild card there.
I agree with that.
About the atmosphere and how I liked it in 9, which is why I made it close. And I think that – and I'm fine with that. So what do we want to slot at 28 then? Do we want 9 at 28?
Yeah, I don't have much of an argument there.
Yeah, I think 9 has to be at 28 because it really feels like a waste opportunity. I mean, the setting is cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, really cool. But it just, I mean, not some solid matches, but nothing that inspiring.
Is nine? When, I mean, nine is really one of those manias that's probably been rebooked more than, or fantasy booked more than most. You know what I mean? Like, you know, how many times you see the Savage versus Brett thing, if Savage or whatever on the Rumble? I mean, that's definitely a match that could have saved or made the show awesome. There's definitely other options in there, too, that really could have turned the show around. But,
and one thing's amazing about nine is, I mean, say what you will about the WrestleMania 2 celebrities, but nine has absolutely no celebrities. Mm-hmm. I know when they do the rundown of, like, each celebrity at every WrestleMania, they kind of have to go with, like, Natalie Cole right. or whatever in the crowd. And it's pretty pathetic. So I guess we'll put that one at number 28. I think that's a safe assumption there. Now, the third worst WrestleMania, which I think could get
hold on, one of the cool moment of nine.
Yep.
When the doink paint is on the Julius Caesar statue. That's pretty cool.
Okay. So the third worst WrestleMania. I would think 11 may start to become a contender here.
See, I irrationally start defending 11 because I feel like it always gets shit on too much.
Yeah, I know that. Four. So
who do you have in? Maybe we could take like a couple at a time then, because I have 1, 4, and 11 in contention for the next three spots.
Okay. What do we feel on 13? Is that out of the running just because of Bret and Austin?
I like the street fight, and I even like the tag match. Mm. And that one, I mean, I'm seeing it's very close. I mean, I have it like maybe like two after this. So,
let me ask you this too: is there anything modern in the running, or do those shows all have a legendary enough match to keep it out of there? Like 26, you know, are there any around that level? Because those seem to bunch together for me. Like 25 and 26 are like jacked up versions of 13. You know, where you have a stellar match and the rest is kind of blah, but. The problem is the in-ring work by this decade has gotten so good that it may be bland for Mania, but there's still really good matches on those cards.
Absolutely. I think that, they may even become a victim of it where like 27 and 29, I would say, were the most recent ones that tier the lowest.
Right.
Yeah.
And but really, if you actually looked at it like match by match, I think they've just gotten better as we've gone along where they really, may not really sink that low, but those would be the more modern day ones that I have that are pretty low.
Right.
Right. I agree with that.
So, do you think there's any of those would be in this bottom tier? Would they sink as low as 11, 4?
I don't think they 13? Sink that low.
Okay. No. And 15 to me is in the mix too.
15's in the mix for me.
15's in the mix. Yeah. I have no problem slotting 15 as maybe the third worst if we want to start discussing
that. What about one? I mean, I don't
one
mean
is. One's tough because it's so historically significant. But if we really think about, like, from a match quality standpoint, I would say WrestleMania 1 doesn't even have as good a match as WrestleMania 2.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think it's all an atmosphere. And then you go back and look at the main event, and Hogan picks up the pin without even hitting the move. You know, Orton hits him, and then he pins Orndorff, and that's it. I'm like, that's such a weird way to end the first. But I mean,
I would argue one under nine. I'd put it over two just because to me, one and two were pretty much the same in my eyes. But one has the way cooler atmosphere. Like to me, the hype of WrestleMania 1, the main event with all celebrities, the women's match, the slam mash. To me, like that outweighs the Dream Team Bulldogs match. Two seems like a bloated version of one. You have all the extra celebrities, the three sites, and so my list, and I was kind of afraid just to say it, I guess, but I would have 2, 1, then 9. That would be my bottom three.
So then we can, Chad, where do you have on 1? Because we could slot 1 as the 27th worst here.
I'd argue worse than 9. I'd argue 28th.
All right, so you want to retcon this? We'll do Mania 28.
I want to get Chad's take, but that would be my pick.
Okay.
I got no beef going 1 as 28. I don't know. I think I lean more towards 9 at 28, 1 at 27, just because I even think at 27 I'm kind of scared from the you young punk, you know, that contingent.
It's not a good show. I mean, it's basically an MSG house show, and I think you could even argue. Could you even argue that maybe the water settle the score was even better, like like as a house show? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's like, yeah, that's one thing that's interesting. If you like peruse Graham's cards, I mean, they did the world war to settle the score. They did this show. They came back like a couple weeks later. I mean, this was not like this was. I mean, in WWE lore, now you know, like, they invested everything, and how much of that is true or not. We don't really have a clear story of how much of the company was legitimately leveraged, but it wasn't like they had no, you know, nothing booked after this date, and this was either, you know, because this did so well, now we'll start booking dates and everything like that, so... I still say we should probably put this at 27, WrestleMania 1, which is no slouch, but third worst is pretty bad. I mean, because I don't think there's an actively bad match probably on the card, maybe, besides San Martino.
Is there anything better than, like, 2.5 stars in your eyes?
Maybe the main event, but that'd be it. Yeah, that'd be it. And I guess, I guess 9, both the head shrinkers and Tatanka Sean and are probably, and Brett Yoko.
I think Perfect Luger is right on the borderline, like 2.5-ish. I mean, it's disappointing, but I don't think it's bad.
All right, so we'll revamp. So we got WrestleMania 2 is the worst. Mm-hmm. That's our number 29. WrestleMania 1 is number 28, is the second worst WrestleMania.
Scott has WrestleMania, a heart attack.
Yeah, WrestleMania 9. For our listeners still listening, is the third worst, and then I think I'll throw out 15. I don't know. I mean, Rock and Austin is good, but eclipsed even a month later to me.
So what's the debate? 15 versus what? 11?
I'd say 15, 11, and 4 are probably your next.
Those
three.
Those are my next three. But debate the main events for me, Chad. Mm. You know. Is Rock Austin at 15? I think it's better than 11. I mean, it's a good match at 11, but
so I would have, and really 4 might creep in here because I think being unobjective, Rock Austin is better than Macho DiBiase. I mean, Macho winning the belt is fine, but I mean, that
if
was
you're
a
talking,
match.
Yeah, if you're talking straight match quality, 4 is worse. It's not
and four's very bloated. I mean, Hulk Andre was a disaster as a rematch. Jake and Rude, two guys that, you know, had great matches with other opponents, had, honest to God, one of the worst matches. I mean, I don't know if them two could have had a worse match with them working the chin lock.
Well, you could tell they were trying to fill the 15. I mean, it's just
just an unmotivated match.
No, I mean, so, you could argue, you know, outside of even Savage DiBiase is not even close to their best. I mean, I guess Savage Valentine, DiBiase Duggan, like those are probably the best actual matches. Right. So it kills me because I've always loved 4. You know, it's one I've always liked to throw on. I mean, the tournament is really cool.
And don't forget the announcing at 4 is phenomenal and carries it, even though the actual, obviously, the Trump Casino is kind of a lamer crowd, especially compared to 15 in Philadelphia. But, I mean, the announcing at 4 gets a little bump for me.
Yeah, the thing there is
4
has
some cachet.
Yeah, but as great as the announcing is as great as the announcing is at 4, though, I don't think 11 and 15 are hurt by their announcing. Well, Cole does a bit. I always forget it's not JR. But Vince and King, as much crap as King gets and even Vince, 95 was like their, you know, stretch of their peak. 94 to 96 to me is the Vince and King peak where I thought they were really good. Like, I liked them at 11.
So we have solved nothing in this.
So do we want to go 4 here?
Well, I mean, if you're thinking straight match quality, 11's got Shawn Diesel, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
LT Bigelow, which is good. Is there anything else on that show?
Not really. I mean, Brett Backlund was awful.
Yeah. Razor Jarrett's pretty, you know, solid enough.
Yeah, that's okay. I'd say 4's probably our next choice here. Just, I mean, and it's tough because I do think there's a lot of kind of intangibles. You know, Trump plows a tournament, big box as a kid, which was cool that you got two tapes for the price of one.
16 matches on that card, and three went over 10 minutes.
Pretty bad show.
And one was the Battle Royal that went 10:40. So, Rude Jake went 15, and Demolition and Strike Force went 12.5.
Right.
Which actually, that might be the best match on that card.
It may be, actually. So let's slot 4 as our number 26 WrestleMania. Now I think we need to debate 15 versus 11 for next two slots. Because I can't see anything eclipsing one of those.
I mean, I would agree with that. I don't think, well, Justin, you brought up 13 before. Is 13 creep below 15?
No, I think
13 in your eyes.
I think 13 is better than both of those, just because Brett shot Steep.
I agree.
Steep is literally like the best, possibly the best Mania match of all time.
I would agree. I think there's cachet to that also.
Yeah, that has to
weigh 15
something.
Though, with Shane, X-Pac, Triple H, Kane, I didn't think was bad.
Oh, but you got the Butterbean moment. I mean,
it's.
I'm a big defender of 11, only because I think it gets. I never think it should be the worst, and I'm not saying it's one of the best, but I don't like the people that say it's the worst show ever because I don't think it is.
Sure,
it's probably maybe one of the least Mania feeling shows ever because of the arena and the time of year. But they did a good job. They overloaded with celebrities because they kind of needed to. And I've always actually defended it a bit over 9 because to me 9 had the roster in place. 11 didn't. They were very thin at that point in 95. So I thought they did the best they could. With all that said, I don't think either show has great standout matches. I mean, Shawn Diesel may be the best of the two shows, but 15, the crowd's hotter, the characters are hotter, the angles were better than 11 was, especially if you factor in the weaving in of the Triple H China Corporation shit throughout the show. Butterbean Bart Gunn is a waste, but it's a really cool moment, which I think counts for something. The cell match is dreadful, but even that's under 10 minutes. So I would probably have these pretty close, but I would say, in my eyes, 15 slightly ahead of 11.
I would agree with that.
How about you, Chad?
Okay. Yeah, I got no beef with that. Two that I'm not very partial to either way. So got no problem putting WrestleMania 11 as our number 25.
This cold.
And then WrestleMania...
Does Cole take you out a little bit of a if we're, because we have been counting the commentary.
I didn't think, Cole being there was kind of awkward in the early stage of 99. But honestly, at that point in time, I thought he was fairly fine to be given that opportunity.
Okay.
He had a couple of good lines, mainly in the Rumble match is what I'm remembering, but I can't actively remember him being so dreadful that the show was dragged down by him. I'd say his commentary was worse, like at WrestleMania 27, WrestleMania 15.
Mm.
Yeah, his hero character work is the absolute worst for me of Cole.
Because I really liked Vincent King at 11. But not enough to
I can't really remember much either way of them either.
I think JR in commentary. JR in commentary and the main of 15 saves it to just eke out ahead of 11.
So we got that. So we got 11 at number 25, 15 at number 24. Now we kind of get into whether we want to slot WrestleMania 13 here. And then I guess we'll use Brad's cheat list on what he had next. Because I have a couple of I think this is where you can start thinking about some of the worst modern era WrestleManias if you want to put them here.
Well, let's examine 13. Right, so let's look at it here.
Okay.
So we got the opening four-way tag match. We got Rock and Sultan. We got Triple H Goldust, which is okay, 15 minutes, a little bit long. You get Owen and Bulldog versus Mankind and Vader. Interesting match.
Mm-hmm.
Bret Austin, 22 minutes. So, that's a big chunk of the show. you get the street fight, which goes 10, and the main event another 21 minutes. So I think it comes down to your feelings probably on Taker Sid and the street fight. Do they carry the top half of that card enough?
Yeah, so I would say that Taker Sid, I watched not too, I watched that pretty recently. Now, it's not an all-time classic by any stretch, but I don't think it's like a negative three-star match either. It's a fairly decent, probably star and a half, two-star match, which for a WrestleMania main event is not what you hope, but I have no issue putting that around the same level as like John Cena versus Miz from 27, mm-hmm. which was pretty much a terrible start match until The Rock got involved. I mean, it was awful live. So,
well, I will say this too, with Taker Sid, I thought the storyline was much better than Miz Cena going in. And I thought, the hype to see Taker finally win the title and have a run was actually pretty high. Like, I don't know how much you guys were watching in 97 at that time. I don't remember. But, I remember being really pumped for this match heading in. Like, thinking the last three matches were, like, big selling points for me. Bret, Austin, the street fight, and Taker finally winning the title. That was, like,
and Justin, let me ask you this. Would you put this on par with 11 when it comes to maximizing the thin roster they had?
Oh, yeah.
See, I do.
Yeah.
Like, I think that they – I mean, I know that you could rebook some certain things and do different things with Vader and whatnot, but I think, though – and this – I've kind of always been, like, a little of a defender of 13, even though I wasn't really actively watching at the time, but watched it later and thought, like, you know, this is kind of unfairly dragged on because this was, you know, like you said, really hot angles around the title going into the into the show. And for what they could work with, I thought it was pretty good.
Now, here's another one that I'll throw out as the other WrestleMania I was at live. It's 29. Punk Taker is good, but, and, you know, nobody's going to say that's better than Steve versus Bret here. And then I don't know. To me, the only thing with 27's weird because I do like Undertaker, Triple H, probably better than anybody else on the call, but all three of us think it's good. But it does have Punk versus Orton, which is a very good match, as a solid number two. Has Edge versus Del Rio, which I think is, fair.
It's a good. Over,
Yeah, like 2.5, 3-star type match, which I think helps it. But it also has Lawler Cole, which a lot could argue as the worst match in WrestleMania history in some ways.
I think that my next three are 13, 27, and 29. And I think 27 with arguably the worst main event in Mania history and also Cole and Lawler puts it into contention to go into this spot.
Can I throw another sneaky one in there?
What do you got?
12.
That's the next one I have. That's okay.
His 12's got a really dead crowd. I thought Vince and King were very good here again. I like them here. You get the, pretty fun old man match there in the, the Huckster and the Nacho Man in the pre-show. But, I mean, it depends on your feelings on Sean Brett. Where does that stack up with Steve and Brett and with Taker Triple H? Taker Diesel's pretty solid. But outside of that, nothing really stands out on the card. The Piper Goldust match is a nice curiosity. Nothing crazy. Austin Savio, okay. Six man, okay. The only thing that really may save 12 is that there's nothing bad.
Yeah, and it your mileage varies on the Iron Man, but you can't deny that takes up the majority of the card. I mean, that's right. An hour and 25 minutes probably time you add in the packages and everything else in a 2-hour and 50-minute show.
Right.
Pretty seminal moment too. But you're right there about that crowd.
I would say WrestleMania 2016 is probably in this area too. So I guess these are probably the ones we're slotting. So we just need to probably pick an order. I mean, 27, it pains me because it's my first WrestleMania. It was special, but I will never defend Cole versus Lawler. I am a huge Jerry Lawler fan, but that match was absolutely awful. Should have been you know, a 5-minute squash fest and was just stretched out way too long. The main event was
brutal.
Something that I was pumped for in the building because it had the great Miz MTV package. Awesome. And the Cena stuff with the choir, I was kind of digging, and then they just laid a turd, just
and
a
then even the
turd.
You know, the Rock opening the show with that long fucking monologue,
yeah,
that was kind of
that
bland.
Doesn't look good at all in retrospect. I mean, being there at the moment, it was okay, just because that was only his second appearance back, but on rewatch, that's an easy fast forward.
Yeah.
So let's. I'm willing to do that. We'll put WrestleMania 27 here,
okay,
as our number 23 overall WrestleMania, and then for the next one, 12. I don't think is great, but I do think it's solid, and I do think 13 is one spectacular match, one good match, and then a lot of not so good stuff. Which hurts it.
13?
Yeah.
How about 25?
I'm not a big fan of 25. It comes
well,
into
if you look at it, yeah, because if you balance, I mean, if you take out Taker Shawn and take out Bret Steve, right, because those are probably the 1-2 of WrestleMania matches of all time, which is kind of crazy that we're talking about these shows being so low when you have the two greatest Mania matches ever. But what is it, you know, what is the, what, other match carries that card. I mean, you get the Money in the Bank, which is probably better than anything else on 13.
Yeah.
And even Matt and Jeff was decent enough.
The triple threat's not bad with Cena, Edge, and Big Show. I mean, the story was ludicrous, but...
And what do you feel is better, Triple H Horton or Taker Sid? I mean, they're probably about the same, right?
Yeah, boy, that's probably... That's a good conversation.
I say 25 can't be lower than 13, though, know, just mainly because of the Money in the Bank. I think that's better than the street fight. And even the Chris Jericho stuff with the Legends, I didn't think was awful. And the triple threat match, I would say, is better than, say, like the tag team match from 13 for the tag team belts. So I have no problem putting it in our lower end, but I don't know.
So do we do 13 versus, I mean, what about revisiting with 12 here?
Well, to me, I think 12 and 2000 are similar, and it's funny that they're both in Anaheim. They both feel the same to me, like kind of bland. I think you can argue 12 is better than 16. Well, 16's got the ladder match, I guess, is probably the best. Well,
ladder match is pretty
do you feel like that's better than the Iron Man?
I have 2,000 above 12, yeah.
And the main event of 12 is 40 minutes, only 20 minutes shy of the Iron Man, so that lines up, you know, fairly equally.
The four-way elimination from 16. Yeah, that was pretty good.
I don't dislike that match. But what about 29, though? Is 29 creep back into discussion because it's a 1-4-star match and then a bunch of 2.5 guys?
So let's look at 29 match by match. So the Shield 6-man again, 2.5. Ryback Henry was disappointing. I thought the tag team match was not a lot of substance, but was decent while it lasted. Fandango Jericho, same. Del Rio Swagger, kind of the same. Then Undertaker Punk, which was a great match, but I thought lost a little bit on rewatch. And then the last two, to me, are what kind of hurts 29, because Triple H Brock didn't like it live, liked it less on rewatch. Cena Rock didn't really like it live and liked it even less on rewatch, too. So that's not a good 1-2 punch to lead the building on for me.
Brett, I think that the power of Bret Steve and everything that happened with it is so much better than 29.
It's crazy to me to think how high 13 is. I mean, I just, when you think about when everyone lists their worst manias, it's always like 9, 13, 11, 2, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy to think. I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying it's crazy to think we're going to have that not even, you know, maybe in our bottom 10.
I think I think 13's got to be the next two. I mean, to me, it's honestly 13 or 29. That would be too. My choice.
I agree.
So I guess, Justin, you can decide whether you want 13 here and 29 next.
Oh, I'm so clouded on 29. You know, it's a show. I don't know if I even really rewatched the whole thing yet since last year. So I'm probably not the best authority on it. I mean, I had a great time, but how much of that is, you know, clouding my memory? Taker Punk. I mean, yeah, there's nothing better on 29 than what was on 13. So, I mean, 13's got arguably the best match of in Mania history. Better commentary. The only thing it's lacking is the better atmosphere. But the crowd was awesome at 13, especially for Bret and Austin.
Right.
Plus, even Shawn on commentary is pretty fun in the main event, being a dick. when Bret comes out, oh, not again, you know.
This guy again, yeah.
Yeah, Bret comes out. It is such a seminal moment. I'd say they're really, really close, but I'd probably say 29, then 13.
Okay, so WrestleMania 29.
Scott's heart is just busted over this whole show right now.
Ended up being the ninth worst, so.
And then WrestleMania 13 is number 21 for us.
We'll leave it there, but, I mean...
I mean,
25, 12, and 16 are all right around hovering.
They're hovering for me, but I think almost the sum kind of has to outweigh the. It'll be interesting to hear because I do think 29. I don't know. I don't want to say 26. I actually really
like 26.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I 26 is the sneaky one.
Not at the time. To me, 26 was disappointing at the time because I remember the hype was out of control for 26. Like, the card seemed ridiculously loaded. I remember that's when I first started listening to, like, live audio wrestling, and they were just, like, through the roof ready for the show. Like, the hype was just so much with Bret coming back and everything else. And then it ended up being a bit of a disappointing show, I thought. It's probably one of those ones that's better in retrospect, but I remember the time being kind of disappointed by it.
Well, Bret Vince is... If you want to say Lawler full disclosure, there'll be a Place to Be Nation article a few days after we post this where we have our top 25 and bottom 15 WrestleMania matches, and I participate in that. And I voted Bret versus Vince as my worst WrestleMania match of all time and put Lawler Cole number two just because of the hype. Like you said, Justin, with Bret coming back, right. And I thought just with everything with the hearts, double crossing, and it was just awful. So that one really hinders that show overall.
But, and even right down to the opener, like Show Miz and Morrison Truth. Yeah, I remember being excited for that one. It was like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Swagger winning Money in the Bank. That was one of the lesser Money in the Banks. Ray Punk was all right. They only give that 6 minutes, though. Like, they never really gave that a lot of time. Yeah, Sheamus Triple H is solid. Jericho Edge was pretty good.
And they did the legacy triple threat. I mean, we'll probably get more of the 26 later, but I actually had it in my top 10, and I know.
No way. I don't
think so. No, it won't.
I had it right at the fringe there, but we got 10 spots to go for that one.
And also, another one's going to break my heart to say it, but where do we introduce 5? I think it's probably coming soon, right?
It's coming, but I say 12, 16, and where are we at? 12, 16. And.
12, 16, and I think
25 is probably fair to be around here.
Yeah.
What about 18 then?
18 was right after my voice. I think it's a little like one level above the other ones we're flirting with, but
I agree. But it's not close, though. I guess I like 16 more than
18.
I have no, I like 18 more than 16. But
18 has an awesome crowd. I mean, that alone blows 16 out of the water. Rock Hogan, you know, you say what you want about the match itself, but the moment was phenomenal. And, you know, you even said to yourself, Brad, you just rewatched it. Triple H Jericho's better than you remember. Taker Flair is a lot of fun. Austin Hall is even a pretty solid match, even though it was disappointing to see Austin there. Like, they still worked a pretty good match. And I like RVD Regal, too, a lot.
So let's decide between the Anaheims for these slots, because I think that's not offensive. You know, they're both bottom 10 WrestleManias. I don't think anybody's going to get bent out of shape with that. So it's really 12 or 16, which one we think. I would argue probably 12 above, only because of the gravity of Shawn winning the belt.
Well, to me, the only match on 16 may have the best match in the ladder match, but then it has like nothing else.
Right.
I mean, even the triple threat is pretty disappointing when you consider who's in it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So even though it has the best match, I think 12 is probably, like we said, there's really nothing bad on 12. Okay. And I think you have to factor in a little bit of 16, the disappointment.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you have to consider that because like it was disappointing. You know, that was a show that they should have done maybe the best Mania ever to that date at that point.
Right.
With the roster they had and how hot the product was, and ended up being a real flat show.
Alrighty, so we have spoken. WrestleMania 16 is our number 20 WrestleMania of all time. WrestleMania 12 is our number 19 WrestleMania of all time. Now we're moving right along, and I think this is where we get WrestleMania 25. I would start saying WrestleMania 5.
525.
I'm trying to think of any other ones around that area. Honestly, like 18 is probably starting to creep up after that.
But I would definitely agree with 5 and 25. I like 5. I think that
5 is good. It's a little bloated. 14 matches, and again, you deal with the Trump crowd. But
talk to me about this one. What about? And I'm going to defer to you guys because I don't know a lot about the undercard with it. But where does 6 come in now?
So
I hate you, Brad.
I'm not saying it's lower half, but
here's the debate, and this kind of blows up everything we're talking about. And this is what's tough when doing these lists because, I mean, we just threw up WrestleMania 13. Which always gets ranked at one of the lowest. But 6 and 3, you know, WrestleMania 3, WrestleMania 6 always get ranked very high. And they have incredible intangibles. Like, both have absolutely ginormous, excellent crowds. Commentaries rocking on both. They feel very magical and of the moments of the eras. But when you get down to the nuts and bolts, each only has one great match apiece. 6, I would say, has another super moment with Demolition winning the tag.
That was going to be my argument over 13. I mean, 13, you may have the better match, Bret Austin. But if you pair that off against Warrior Hogan, I don't think there's a better moment on that show or many others like Demolition Colossal Connection. Like that moment is just phenomenal.
But now, I think as we get into this type of categories, I mean, we probably should have preferenced this from the beginning, but I don't think we want to make this list as like it's not going to be a historically significant heavy list. I mean, if you want to do that list, 3, 1, you know, 6, right, those are going to be high. This is not what we're trying to do. So 6 after that moment. I mean, the mixed tag is fun for Jesse's commentary.
Well, I'll say
this. Like a 2.5 star.
I think 6 has the best commentary in WrestleMania history. Like, I think Jesse and Gorilla were at their absolute best at 6.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think you can find me a better Mania commentary-wise.
But
top to bottom. And that's a big part of a long show. Plus, 14 matches, but nothing's long. So nothing gets a chance to drag. Like, nothing is bad. Like, everything's crisp, it moves along, and it was probably maybe arguably the best Mania when it comes to finishes, where the heel had to go over and be built up, they went over. Where the faces needed to win to blow off the feud, they won. It had the mega, mega memorable main event. Had awesome commentary, awesome atmosphere. Like, to me, it was the perfect idea of what a WrestleMania should be.
Let me ask you, which of the Toronto shows do you rank higher?
6 over 18.
Okay.
Whew.
So Chad, I think Hogan Warrior is better than Hogan Rock.
I don't know about that. And I certainly don't think any match from 6 is as good as Taker Flair as a number 2. So that's... I don't know. I mean, I think this is what we got to say, though. I mean,
well,
if you want to go 25, which we're saying may have the second best WrestleMania match of all time, I do think we got to start talking about like 3, 6, some of these that are maybe good shows to watch or easy watches, but just kind of don't have that number two. I would say WrestleMania 3 even above 6 for me, and that's only because to me the moment of Hogan Slim and Andre, I like Savage Steamboat better than Warrior Hogan as a match anyway, but to me the image of Hogan Slim and Andre resonates more than Demolition winning the belts. But I have no problem saying that we can put 25 and some of the lesser ones here, but or 5. I would say 5 even below those two. But I do think once we get into the real upper echelon, we got to start flirting with them.
All right. So are we saying that for 18, we want to do we want to do 5 or 25?
Yeah, I have no beef with that. I would probably say 25.
Well, see, it's tough. Honestly, I think 5 is a better show, top to bottom. It's just, again, we get to that argument of, well, 25 has arguably the best match in WrestleMania history. So now, you know, what on 5 even touches Taker's show?
Well, yeah, so I think nothing touches that, but I think the main event, Warrior Rude, Strike Force Brainbusters, Blazer Perfect, and Twin Towers Rockers, that, like, 5 match run helps, because I would probably, if I had to rank all these, I mean, the Money in the Bank may be a better match technically than either of those 5, but if you ask me which match do I want to pop in right now, it would be Shawn and Taker number 1, then those 5 matches like 2 through 6, and then the Money in the Bank probably
plus
number
again
7.
You get the commentary, which I think is probably the second best commentary in WrestleMania history, is at 5. You get angry, yeah. Jesse with the Savage Hogan stuff. He's pissed off with No Holds Barred. You know, you get all that stuff. The beef with 5 would be the real bloating. When you get the Run DMC, you get the Brother Love Show. Like, that really balloons this card up even more than the 14 matches. But then on the flip side, you know, we haven't really been factoring in, which is unfair, that 25 and the more recent vintages have all the music acts too, which we haven't even really mentioned. 29, we didn't talk about Diddy, which I thought was actually a decent enough concert, but
I agree.
25, you get Snoop doing that whole thing. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot. It's not just the bloating in the early ones. It's become the later ones. It's really just the middle stretch that didn't have that bloated feel to it.
So do we want to do 5 above 25?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's close to like 16 and 12 or 13 and 29. You know, some of the other ones we've said where I think it's a dead heat. But I'm with you, Chad. If I'm picking one of those shows to throw in, it's probably 5 and not 25.
Okay, so we do a number 18's WrestleMania 25, number 17's WrestleMania 5. Now let's hammer out a couple more, and then we'll take a break.
I'm wondering if we need a break right now. I feel like some of these arguments we have coming right now. I mean, is 6 and 3 our next argument, or do we have another one in here?
I think we got to throw 18 and then 6 and 3. And then
where does 14 come in for you guys then? I like 14, God. But it's got to be right outside. Jesus.
These are all tough, man.
A lot of middling manias. I think 14, I would have that below 6 and 18.
Yeah, that's where I have it right now. It breaks my heart because I love it. But
I mean, what's really good on that show, match-wise?
Nothing's good. It's a lot of, you talk about a shit, show that has a lot of 2.5. It's a lot of maybe 2.5 to 3.
I think I want this maybe below 5 or 25.
Ooh.
Nothing touches friggin' Shawn Taker on 14. Right?
No.
Not even close.
Oh, no. Yeah, but
nothing sniffs it. Yeah, or the Money in the Bank, right? And 5, I don't know if anything sniffs those 5 matches you listed, Chad.
I mean, 14, I'll say this for 14, like 5 has some fun segments and matches, but when you, if you watch it all the way through, it feels really bloated. When I did 14 for the Rewind series, I was able to, you know, I put it on fairly late on like a Friday night. It was probably like 9:45 when I started the show. I had no problem getting through the 2 hours and 50 minutes of that show in one sitting. Each match gets time, but not too much time. So I would have that above these previous two we watch just from a watchability factor. I think it needs to be started. Definite contender right here for me. I mean, because again, that, you know, 14 is a show I think is carried on historical significance, which we're again not making this list about.
Right.
I mean, it's the start of the Attitude Era, but from a match quality, it's not that great. From a celebrity quality, you have Rose, who's fantastic, but, you know, then Jennifer Flowers and not a whole lot else. Tyson, which was good, but maybe slightly disappointed given the hype
and
he had.
And you're right. I mean, it launched an era, which is pretty huge. You know, 5, I think, though, you can't discount the blow-off. I mean, we always say, oh, Savage Hogan's a good match. I mean, that was the blow-off of a phenomenal one-year storyline that had a lot of hype and interest. So you can't say, I mean, if you look at the angles heading in, Austin Michaels didn't have nearly the cachet. I mean, it launches Austin, but it doesn't have the story behind it like the Mega Powers did. I mean, the Mega Powers blowing up at 5 was massive, was monster.
I would be completely fine with making 14, 17, and then putting 5 one above it at 16.
All right. So now we're pulling the switcheroo. We got WrestleMania 14 at our number 17 WrestleMania, and WrestleMania 5 is our number 16. Mm. And then do we want to do one more before we hit a break now?
So no, I think we have to debate. I don't think it's just picking one. I think it's an argument, and then the other one probably falls after it. So, unless you guys want to visit 26 here, that'd be my own one.
I'm not ready for 26 yet, personally.
So we're going to take a break, hash it out, do some rock, paper, scissors off air. Listen to our sponsors, and we'll be back maybe with some conclusiveness.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
What's that? Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry.
The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
Uh-huh.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
We are back on the Brad and Chad Show WrestleMania Rewind Special, and off air we discussed nothing and came to no conclusions. So we're back with our number 15 ranked WrestleMania, and we're kind of at a stalemate here. But we did, and one thing, this was what we talked about a little bit off air, is when you get into ranking these shows kind of on the spot, it's and doing it mostly on really a match quality and then the other particulars secondary standpoint, you really kind of start to see how a lot of WrestleManias have had one super match and then maybe a couple more great moments, but not many WrestleManias top to bottom have had a couple at least two great matches on them. So that's why I think, like, for instance, WrestleMania 10, WrestleMania 8, those type of WrestleManias haven't been mentioned yet, because those do have multiple great matches surrounded by a lot of crap, but at least two multiple great matches where these other shows haven't had that yet. So now we're at WrestleMania 15. So what do we want to throw out as suggestions, guys?
Well, I mean, we've been debating. I think in the mix is 6, 3, 18. Let me throw a little lug nut into the mix here, into the peanuts.
Okay.
WrestleMania 22.
Now, WrestleMania 22 is an interesting one, and I thought that was going to be one of the more interesting ones we debated overall when I did some thinking in my head for this show. Now, if we want to talk great matches, I think you'd probably argue that it has
one. Yeah.
Edge Foley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what I do think really helps, and I'll say another one I have in mind that I kind of compare to 22 is WrestleMania 7. I think WrestleMania 7 only has Savage Warrior, which I think is a better match than Edge Foley, but one argument at a time. But one thing that I like about both those shows is, yeah, they only have one probably great match apiece, but underneath that, especially 22, I think, is arguably three or four matches in that 3.5 star range, where, you know, Vince, Shawn, maybe 3 stars. The main event, I think, is really good, probably 3.5 stars. And even like WrestleMania 23, I think, in some ways, is kind of a preview to that too. Money in the Bank for both. The three way from WrestleMania 22 is not very long, but they really crammed a lot into the 8 minutes or whatever that lasts. So that's what I think helps carry in a little bit. I don't know.
So, and I agree with you, Chad. I have 22 a little bit higher outside this next tier of five or so. So are we back to like 18 or 6 and like put them both right here?
Man, I don't know. That's tough.
I mean, if it's me, and I know this is probably sacrilegious, I have 3 below both of them, but that's just my own. I mean, I feel like 3 has a lot more. I don't know. I mean, it's just nostalgia clouding my 6 eyes, but I feel like 3 has more nothingness about it.
So I think.
And the 3 crowd is awesome to look at. Were they as hot as like 6 or 18, though?
I don't know if they're necessarily as hot, but I think they're certainly a very good crowd.
I mean, 6 and 19 are like 2 of the...
I would say it's fairly close.
Yeah, 6 yeah, and 18 I mean, are 6, 2 of the best 18. Crowds ever.
Yeah, so they're not going to compare to that, but they're I think they're good. So Brad, we're going to put you on the hot seat here. So first, you're going to have to make a decision, I think. Well, do we just want to put 18 at number 15 and then hash out the 6-3 fiasco?
Yeah, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay. So we put WrestleMania 18 at our number 15 WrestleMania. That's good. I mean, that's a midway point WrestleMania. I think that's fair for it with a main event that may not be as bad when you watch it back, but I still don't think it's good. Very good. And then a great, great moment with Rock and Hogan, but that's probably one I'll do for my Vintage Vault preview, and I'm kind of interested to revisit kind of as a match by match, because it's not a match I've really rewatched a lot, honestly, maybe only a couple times, and I've liked it, but it's not a match that I'll throw in at any time, so that's fair there. So now 3 versus 6, Brad, I would vote 3, Justin will vote 6, so you're kind of the tiebreaker here.
I'm going to put 6 lower than 3.
Yes. Solidarity of the Brad and Chad team.
This sucks.
Sorry,
buddy. So Scott's heart was broken before. Now our number 14 WrestleMania is WrestleMania 6.
It still his heart is still broken if we're having 3 at number 13, because he's going to argue with.
Yeah, that is bad. That is bad. WrestleMania 3 at number 13.
Are there any other ones? Let me ask you guys, when we start about talking about 3, there anybody else that comes into contention for you guys?
I would say 22 and 26 in my eyes.
I know. You definitely don't like 26.
Well, it's not that I don't like it. If I'm picking one to throw in, I'm still throwing 6 or 3 in, probably. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, well, I know that's tough, but that I would say that as well, but that I do think nostalgic plays a lot.
Oh, I'm looking, like we said about the intangibles,
you know, like
too.
In a vacuum. Yeah, I mean, the
intangibles.
We're
talking Jesse and Gorilla. We're talking the crowd. I mean, I just think 26 is the inferior Shawn Taker match.
You know. Well, agree to disagree, my friend. I actually like that one better than the first one.
Well, and I would, and here's, this may sound a little sacrilege, but I don't know if I like it better than Savage Steamboat, but I know for sure I would take the 26 Taker Shawn match over Hogan Warrior, for sure, as a match. So, but yeah, I do think 26-22 now is certainly appropriate. 24, I think we can start throwing in around this time. 23. Now we're starting to get into the kind of the cream of the crop here. So where do we want to kind of go? I do think 26 is probably, it's about its time. Or 28 even as a thumbs up show. God, I don't know about 28. 28 may... Now, what's our argument for 28 here?
So I would say the argument for 28 is, you know, depending on your preference, potentially 3-4-star matches, depending on how much you like the main event. And again, taking into the stakes, the atmosphere of all those, I think that 28 is above 26 and 22 and 24, in my opinion.
Where do you land on 28, Justin?
It's one I've seen a couple of times now over the last few days because it's been on the stream on the network a lot. 28 versus 24, I'd probably like 28 better than 24. Well, I really like Edge Taker. I like Mayweather, Big Show, and I like Flair, Shawn. 28, you get The Cell. You know, Punk Jericho's very good. Roxanne is very good. And they're probably about as close, a pretty close race to me. 24-28.
And do we think 22's below those or above those?
I think 22's below those.
What about?
Yeah,
I think 24 and 28 are better than 22.
And then all of those are better than 26 in your opinion?
Yes.
So then we need to look at 26 unless there's a wild card like...
Like Chad mentioned, 7.
7, potentially.
So 7 has a lot on it. But it does have one absolute great match. I think the main event is honestly a very underrated main event. And in WrestleMania history, in a lot of ways, kind of gets slighted a lot. But if you go, if you look at all the main events in WrestleMania history, it's honestly maybe upper half. I mean, it's better than Sid Hogan, better than Yoko, Bret, probably either one. I don't want to go match by match, but it's a fairly good main event. Maybe even better than John Austin from 14, probably is. So that would be my thing with 7. Taker, I mean, Boss Man Perfect is fine. Virgil DiBiase is not great. The opener, I think, is very good. Mm-hmm. And then the tag match, Hearts versus Nasties, is a pretty good match as well.
I mean, I like 7 better than 22, even though, I mean, like we said, you match up Edge Foley versus Warrior Savage. I think Warrior Savage is better.
Yeah, yep, I agree with that.
I think the main events... At worst or wash, if you had to pick one, I think Hogan Slaughter is slightly better. And then to me, you get the, you know, Gorilla Bobby factor in there. And the look and feel of the arena to me is better than 22. The 7 crowd is good. And that opener shouldn't be overlooked at all, like you said, Chad. That's a really good opener, Rockers against Haku and Barbarian.
True.
So I'm willing to go 26 right here is our number
26
12.
Or 22?
26. I think I would take 26 over 22. I mean, 22 over 26.
Well, what do you think, Brad? Kind of your last dish shave for 26 here.
Well, I mean, for 26, we haven't talked about Cena Batista.
I remember not really liking that, though. Wasn't that kind of...
Oh, I like that. I thought that was...
I thought that was like the worst of their matches, no?
Oh, really? It was a bomb throwing. I thought it was very good, and I thought that the Jericho Edge having their moment was also like a 3+ star match that kind of sneaks in there to bring up the entire show. But then you have, you know, the Vince McMahon Bret Hart dud, which, and also Matt Stryker on commentary is brutal on that whole show. So
yeah, that to me is the one thing. I mean, we're still ranking it the 12th best WrestleMania of all time,
right?
Not a bad showing. That Vince.
13. Yeah.
Yeah. 13. No, 12. Right?
You were at our 12th. Maybe.
Yeah, number 12.
Okay.
Wake up.
I have my numbers off.
But so this, I mean, that's not a bad showing, especially with a match as bad as Vince, Brett. I mean, that's atrocious. So we'll go that as number 12. We'll go ahead and slot 22 as number 11. And then we kind of, I think, then we're getting in the tangled mess of 24, 28.
7.
Probably 7. Yeah.
And where do we fall with 8? I mean, the two matches propping up?
8's got to be up there because of the shows with probably two matches. It's, I mean, 8. 8 is literally a show with two great matches, a cool surprise at the end, and then Sean versus Tito. I just rewatched while we were hashing out the first part of this list. So that was pretty fun.
I think, but you could argue too, it's the great peak of Gorilla and Bobby at 8.
That helps it. I don't think the Hoosier Dome helps that much when we start talking about intangible, but yeah, I mean, it's certainly coming in the list. I don't think it's a top three contender. So I guess 24, 28, 7, 8, I would think would be the next ones we'd want to think about.
Where do you guys lean for 7 versus 8? I like to kind of hash it out with different matchups so we can go by the era here. So, okay. Justin, who do you have 7 versus 8?
Oh, they're really close, but I think 7's got the best match. 8's got the next two best. Plus, you get all the stuff with Heenan around the Flair commentary. They're tight for me.
Better main event than 7, though.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. But 8's got the, Brett
Piper.
If that
carries any...
Yeah, I agree. I mean, 7's got the best match. 8's got the next two best. And it's as much as I like, probably the Rockers tag would then be the 4th best match on both of those shows. And then main event of 7 would be the 5th. And as much as I like those two matches, I do think there's a pretty big gulf between kind of the 3 to 3.5 star rankings for those two affairs. And then, I mean, Piper Brett, I don't know where star ranking wise it would go, probably 4 to 4.25. But that's just a great match with a lot of memorable moments with the bloody Brett, the what the hell, ring the bell, Piper's punches, Piper's kind of psychology throughout the match, whether he his every intention is to cheat, and he does some. He works a very heelish face match. And then Savage Flair is fantastic as well.
And you get some big moments outside of those. I mean, you get Shawn's solo debut, right? You get Taker's face debut, beating Jake.
Ray Combs.
Right, you get Ray Combs, which I love. And again, all the commentary surrounding Savage Flair, and Savage Flair goes 18 minutes, which is really long. Plus you get all the post-match stuff, which is awesome. The interviews before the match and after were some of the best, Mania interviews, I think, pre and post-match of all time, with, Savage with Elizabeth and, freaking out that Flair kissed her and all, everything. To me, this is Savage's like creative peak at this point. I'd probably go 8 over 7, but it's fairly close.
So, And now kind of bringing it full circle. Now, me personally, I think this is going to be something where you may have to split a vote between me and Brad, Justin. But, 28 to me would be my next pick. I'll just say that. I know you said you probably like 24 better. But do we want to argue that 28 is better than any of these? Because of the shows we just discussed, I'd have 28 the lowest.
I like 7 and 8 better than 28.
Okay, so do we want to do 24 next? I think both you and Brad are on that wavelength.
Okay, as the
10th best is WrestleMania 24.
20 and then, as the
20. Yeah, because 24, yeah. I mean, we haven't really delved too deep into it yet. It depends what you really think of Flair and Shawn. I know that's kind of a divisive match. I think Taker Edge is really good. I think it's a great last, 15 minutes, the first 8 or 9 is kind of slow. Don't forget, too, in that main event, you had Cole and Coach. And I'm a Coach fan, but you had Cole and Coach calling the main event, which is never fantastic.
Yeah, not great.
Now, what about, where do you guys put 21 in here, then?
Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah, I guess, 21, you're really, it's how much you...
I mean, Money in the Bank is big.
Money in the Bank is awesome. That's my favorite Money in the Bank.
The first Money in the Bank, I think, is one of the, or maybe the best actual Money in the Bank match.
I think it is.
Now, Shawn Angle is a match that I like. I know I don't like as much as some, including one person on this call that has initials JR, but... I will defer that there's a lot of, kind of how I defer with Hell in the Cell on 28. I understand that's a match that a lot of people really like, but I personally don't that much. But I think
it depends too. What do you value? 21 is really, really great for a while and then hits a complete fucking wall with a sumo match. And Cena JBL is a real letdown, and Batista Triple H is just kind of a blah match. Yeah. Ray Eddie's is good. Money in the Bank is great. Taker Orton is very, very good.
That's
true. Trish Christie's actually not that bad. And Kurt Shawn, 28 minutes, I think is a great match.
Okay. So bottom line is 21 is above where we're tiering right now still. So,
I think I may, though, still go 7 and 8 above 21 even.
Yeah, so if we have WrestleMania 28 as our ninth best, I'd say our next one is like 21, 7, 8.
24.
May have to, well, 24 we got as number 10. All right,
okay.
Yeah, that's locked in. So we're 7, 8, 21. I would throw in maybe even 10. WrestleMania 10's tough because
10's
it's
got two 5-star matches.
That's got your two great, great matches is 10.
I mean, so two 5-star matches. We're not talking just great. Like, I think they're legit 5-star
matches. All-timers, yeah. So, WrestleMania 20, we haven't discussed at all.
20's a tricky one because there's a lot of bloating. But what's good is very, very, very good. Like, the main event's really good. Kurt and Eddie is almost a forgotten great match. The Jericho Christian's really good.
Evolution tag is
Evolution's
good
awesome.
You versus get, Rock and Sock.
You get Taker's return to the Dead Man gimmick, which was really hyped at the time. A lot of excitement. Cena's big win, which is his moment
Cena's
to rise.
Big win helps that one.
And even Goldberg Brock is one of the most memorable matches in Mania history with the crowd and everything else. So,
I would say of the bad matches, that's probably the best one.
Right.
I would have that over like Orton, Triple H from 25.
Easy.
So,
and even the crap isn't, it's just a long show, but even the crap isn't terrible. Like the 2-4 ways, the tag matches are really quick. The women's match is fine. You actually have two of the better women's wrestlers of that time frame in there with Victoria and Molly. And right. Taker Kane is short, and the moment of Taker's return is just awesome. And even the TNA is pretty easily manageable in this one because Cole and Taz are actually pretty funny in commentary. With that match, and you had four of the hotter women of the time wrestling in their underwear, so it's not, it's pretty good. And even the Cruiserweight opens is fun. You get the Ultimo Dragon slip, and I think 20 is above what we're talking about.
Okay.
So
8-7, and then that I think that's probably would 23 for either of you guys be lower than 8 or 7.
I like 23 a lot. I think that's...
Yeah, I have it above 7 and 8.
To me, 23 has two... I guess it depends. I think it's better than 7. I think you have to battle it with 8 because, to me, it's very similar to 8 when you look at it's top-heavy with two great matches and then the rest is all pretty solid. So it depends on which duo would you rather have, Flair and Savage, Piper and Bret, or Cena, Shawn, Taker, Batista.
Oh, yeah. See, I think... Man, when you put it that way, I think I got to go with...
8.
Yeah, I got to go with 8. But Money in the Bank is really good on 23. That's one of my favorite ones with Hornswoggle taking the bump.
And Benoit MVP is decent, not as good as what they would go on to do. The ECW match
was kind of a cool moment, but not much.
ECW match is a little disappointing. They did better on TV 2 weeks later.
The Battle of the Billionaires, I mean, Vince gets his head shaved, but that's a pretty shoddy match.
Right. The moment's cool. The women's match is trash. Kali Kane is nothing. I think it's a toss-up one again. It's a close one. I mean, the crowd, about the same, I think, between the two. I mean, you go back, does the commentary play a role? Maybe.
So let's hash them out here. So, Justin, where do you stand on 21 versus 23?
I think 23 is better than 21.
Okay, so are we good with 21 being 8?
Yeah.
All right. WrestleMania 21 is our 8th WrestleMania.
Yeah. Because that show just falls off a cliff after Kurt and Shawn.
It's tough. I mean, it does have two cool moments with Batista and JP. I mean, the wrong thing with WrestleMania 21 is one of those shows where, like, if they could have got everything together for that show. Like, can you imagine if they would have had, if that would have been the feud? I mean, it would have been overkill, but I mean, JBL and Cena went on to have a great match, 2 months later, or a month and a half later. And then, Batista, Triple H have the Hell in the Cell match, or even a better match at Backlash later.
Right.
It's like, can you imagine if they were able to get it all together and cram all that on this one show? I mean, that'd be your greatest WrestleMania of all time if they could have done that without burning out the crowd, but good luck with that.
Yeah, 21, I think there's very few manias that completely die like 21 did. I mean, actually, 8 is probably similar to it, so maybe we should be looking at the two of those, because 8 is very similar, too. It kind of completely falls off a cliff after you know, Savage Flair. It's one of the greatest first half manias of all time, and then just nothing in the back end.
Yeah. I mean, that's true with eight. I mean, the first hour 50, and then after intermission with Tatanka's feathers and
so I think Skinner. You know, we've been sitting here saying eight's better than seven, eight's better than 23. So May 21 needs to go up near eight. You know,
yeah, I think it's between 8 and 21 right here.
No, maybe they need to go higher because we've been saying 8's better than 23 and 7 and debating 8 and 21. So I'm saying May 23 and 7 need to be here and then 21 and 8.
So let's go back to 7 versus 23 for the 8th spot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in my heart I want to say 7, but I think 23 is probably slightly better than 7.
I would agree with that.
Okay. So we're going to put a 7 as our 8th WrestleMania. Yep. We're going to put WrestleMania 23 as our 7th.
Yep.
And now it's the 8 versus
21.
8 versus 21 debate.
Because we're all good with 20 being above these.
Yeah.
I'm good with 20 above these. What else we got? I'm good with 10 above these. And then really about 17 to 19, the two we haven't discussed. But I think it's pretty obvious where those are probably headed. So 7, I mean 8 versus 21. I think I would go WrestleMania 8 here. It's tough, but I think
so basically you think Sean, Kurt,
God,
and
no,
Money in
I
the
don't,
Bank.
I don't
you're
think
right.
that. No, yeah, I don't think that. I really don't. So
I mean that's what you're arguing because we're saying they're the same flow. They both fall off a cliff. But you also get the wild card of Orton Taker. Which is very good. Is that better than anything else?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That's a sneaky match. Damn it.
And also Ray Eddie, which is...
I mean, Ray Eddie, that's the problem. Like, I don't like either match. Like, my one and two matches from both of those shows is for sure...
And again, Money in the Bank at 21.
Right. But Money in the Bank would probably be my number three match. And then, you know, it's kind of that same debate, like we said before, with WrestleMania 5. Like, I mean, one and two for me... is the two matches from 8, but then three's Money in the Bank, 4's probably Angle versus Shawn, 5's you know Orton versus Taker, 6 is probably the 5th or 6th Eddie versus Ray. So you get all the way down there till I throw something else from 8.
Yeah, but I mean, is it what makes Mania the big matches, right? So I mean, if your top two matches are from 8. Does it really matter that the rest of the card is not as good when you have the two best matches of the group? I mean, that's what it's about, right?
And I do think that, I mean, I think it's tough with our age bracket, but I mean, Savage versus Flair and Piper Hart, those are such iconic matches.
I'm fine putting 21 at 6 and 8 at 5.
Brad?
I'm going to disagree and put 8 at 6 and 21 at 5, so you can be the tie break, Chad.
Fuck's sake.
That's your trademark line.
I will I'm going to go WrestleMania 21 at 6 and WrestleMania 8 at 5.
I mean, on the surface, it's crazy to look at it.
Which feels weak. I mean, there's not... One thing, there's not a big difference between our number 5 and our number 15. I mean, we were debating those together.
Right. I mean, you can look at 8 and say, I think someone, if we just printed this list without actually hearing us talk about it, like if we just post this list on some, you know, on What Culture or one of the other million click sites, and you got to click through 30 times and you see 8 in the top 5, you're probably being like, no fucking way. But I mean, when you talk it out, and you really break it down. I mean, those two matches are just really, really good. But then you look at a show like 25 at number 18 or 13 at 21 that have all-time classics, like top three matches of all time.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, you're dropping. We have WrestleMania 13 at number 21
and
WrestleMania
8
at number 5.
Yeah.
But 13 has like the number one match of all time. 8 has two very good matches. And then you got nothing else on either of them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So yeah, it makes me rethink this whole list. This whole list when I look at it that way.
Let's just start over.
So, I think we can pencil in 20 at number 4.
I don't know.
We're going to argue elsewhere on this one.
I'm thinking 10 or 20.
Yeah, I'd say 10 and 20 here. And, man, now we're in the same fucking debate as 8 and 21 with just reverse because 20.
Well, 20's got more good matches, right?
Well, yeah, has definitely more good matches. I mean, 10 is 2 5-star matches and then Brett winning the belt. And if you want to throw in Savage and Crush running around for 10 minutes, fine. But that's, you know, that's a number 4 moment. So I don't know. So you're taking the 24-10 number 3 stance, Brad?
I'm taking the 20 at number 4 stance. I like 10 a lot. So
yeah.
I'm torn on this one. I mean, 10, the two great matches are 38 minutes, right? So, but it's also a much shorter show than 20.
Right.
I think the bloating of 20 probably hurts it.
24 hours?
Is 20 like 4.5, right?
Right.
20 was over 4 hours, right? But when you add up the...
Let me fire up what the network version has it as real quick.
Well, while you're doing that, if you look at the great matches, the time percentage... You know, the main event's 25 minutes. Eddie Curt is 21. So I think the percentage still probably balances. And then Evolution's 17 and Jericho Christian's 15. So all your best matches are your longest matches, and the rest are all relatively short after that.
Yeah, it's 4 hours and 30 minutes exactly almost on the network. That's a long fucking show.
Oh, it's a very bloated show. I mean, that's a tough one to sit through. All the way through. I mean, yeah, 10
that's
is an
not
easier,
one
much
you're
easier
watching
watch.
In one sitting for right. sure. God, it's tough, but it does have. I mean, when you're talking about Taker returning as the dead man and Cena really feeling like a star for one of the first times, it's got some kind of mojo there, you know. I mean, those are probably your 4th and 5th best moments of that show.
Right. I mean, you got. You know, the Evolution match, I think, cannot be slept on.
No.
I think it's a great match.
I would think that's a very solid number 3.
What about iconic matches, though? I mean, yeah, those are good matches, but I don't think anybody's ever, like, you know.
No, you're right.
I mean, I think those other two just so outweigh them. And there is a good moment to end the show with a main event that's decent enough in its payoff. I don't know. I'll just say my vote is 20 for the 4th best. You two can. What's your vote, Chad?
Damn it, so tough.
Well, we know Justin's vote is going to be 10 as the 4th. Is that correct?
No, I'm still pretty up in the air. So
I mean, honestly, to me, it feels like the same argument we just went through, and we had 8 edge to head, and
right.
To me, the 2 iconic matches from 10, I do. I mean, Bret Owen, if I had to make a list of best WWE matches of all time, Bret and Owen would probably be in my top 5. The ladder match, I think, holds up still very well and is still very memorable. Like, the individual spots from that ladder match, besides maybe Edge's spear and Jeff Swanton from WrestleMania 16, I think the spots in that ladder match are the most memorable spots if you just recollect in your brain. So I'd probably go 20 at number 4 and 10 at number 3.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that.
Okay, and that, again, plays into the same argument where, our number 3 has 2 great matches, but yeah, we got WrestleMania 13, what, at number 21, and if I did do a best WWE match of all time, I'm almost certain that Steve and Brett would be my number 1 match of all time there, so it's tough. So now we're down to the big debate. I don't think this is a big surprise. I think it may be a surprise that some other ones weren't in the mix, like WrestleMania 3, even WrestleMania 6 with the Rosero nostalgia, but we're between 19 and 17.
So can I make a pitch for 19 being 1?
Okay.
That's a tough pitch, but I think 17 has the early. I can't even do it. I really want to.
Well, here I'll make your pitch for you.
All right. So I feel like there's a pitch there, but go ahead.
So So let's go match by match again. So WrestleMania 17, I think you have probably your top, maybe, we'll just for hypothetical sake say the best two matches on both these cards are on 17.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I even agree with that.
Right, right. Just for hypothetical. So you have Rock Austin and TLC. But then I think you can definitely say the next two for sure are probably Michaels, Jericho, Brock, Kurt. Then you get into the debate where you still have Rock Austin from 19 hanging out there.
Which is very good.
Yeah, you still have McMahon, Hogan, which is becomes a McMahon match debate, which you prefer. Which I mean, that's really tough because I love Piper, the Piper moment. You have the blade job, crazy Vince coming from the apron with his facial expression. But 17 has the nut shot and Linda standing up and Foley beating his ass. And then you have Angle, I guess Angle and Benoit, which can't be slept on from 17. That's a very good
17
match.
Definitely has the commentary edge. I'll give that.
17 has the commentary edge.
And what about... Does it hurt 19 with Triple H, Booker T, and Undertaker in a handicap match?
I don't think. Well, my beef. I don't think Triple H, Booker T is nearly as bad as the reputation it has. I mean, I think people get mad because they felt Booker should have won because of the racist angle behind it. But
right.
And I don't think the pedigree crap at the end is as bad as it's blown out to be. I mean, the whole beef of the story was Booker T's knee was getting worked over the whole match. He misses the Harlem Hangover, gets pedigreed, slams his knee down. I mean, Triple H maybe could have moved, you know, 4 seconds faster, but it's not the minute and a half that, you know, the hyperbole crew likes to fucking say.
I agree with you there.
It's more like, you know, whatever, 12 seconds or something. But I don't think that match is near. Of all the Triple H transgressions, I really don't have as much of a beef with that one because I think it was dumb. I don't think Booker should have won the title there. I think the storyline was the problem, not the match. And Taker, Big Show, A-Train is actually not even awful. I mean, A-Train wasn't bad at this point. So Matt Hardy was and Ray was disappointing, only getting 6 minutes. I remember that kind of felt like blah. And I know the triple threat tag match was disappointing. After the, you know, SmackDown 6 had really ruled the fall of 02.
Yeah.
This one felt like a real letdown. Having these, this is something I had high hopes for.
Still fairly, I mean... Was it disappointing? Yes, but...
It's not bad.
I mean, is it worse than, like, the three-way hardcore match and, you know, even... it's probably worse than Regal Jericho, but I think it's comparable.
Right.
And one thing, I'm looking when we do the timer argument. So I pulled up WrestleMania 19, and they start the hyping for Jericho, Shawn, right at an hour into the show.
Right.
And it's 3 hours and 46 minutes. So that's 2 hours and 46 minutes of really good stuff. Yeah. I mean, Knockout Triple H and Booker T, which isn't great, but that's a really good 2 hours and 46 minutes. I mean, I don't think, I mean, I rewatched Triple H and Undertaker a few months ago. I didn't think it was very good from 17.
I mean, I think I would maybe argue I like Brock Kurt better than Rock Steve at 17.
Whew. Now I'd be on the other side of that argument.
Well, you know me. I have a weird issue with Rock Steve from 17. Yeah. I still don't know what it is, but I have one.
Well, I mean, the issue I have with... Did the heel turn for Austin work really well? No, not really. But
that's never my beef with that match.
I think that's such a ballsy move. Like, that's where I always defend. Like, WWE in their history has been booked in such a way that you rarely get moments that kind of ballsy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Was putting the title on Hogan in 84... really that ballsy a move? Not really. You know, if you look at the landscape of wrestling, how he was in the AWA, it wasn't that huge of a risk to put the belt on him. This turning Austin Hill in front of his crowd was an absolute crazy move on paper that they went with. And, you know, I mean, that's something they're scared to do now. They did have the Rock as a number two babyface, but, I mean, they're scared to death to turn John Cena full-blown heel now. And they did it here. They've turned their number one babyface heel. But yeah, so I guess, I don't know. Am I really going to argue 19 over 17? I don't know why, but I do think it's pretty close. Brad?
I think it's real close, but I think that the overall quality of depth, just some of the undercard matches on 17 in the first half, edge it out. I mean, it's close for me, but I would go 17 number one and 19 number two.
Okay.
And I know that's very predictable or pretty commonplace, but even just looking it over.
Brad, what McMahon match do you like better?
I prefer 17s. I do. I haven't watched 19s in, it's been like maybe like 6 or 7 years. So to be fair, I have watched 17 more recent. So maybe there's some recency bias there. I did like the street fight, they were both street fights. I did like 17s more.
And I think Rock Austin in 19 is really good. That kind of always gets overlooked too. I think people were kind of maybe done with it at that point, but that was a really good match.
Yeah, that's my second favorite match they ever had.
Yeah.
But 17 is my favorite, so. Mm.
Look, I know it's a losing argument, and I think the intangibles of 17 push it over anyway. I just wanted to make the argument that I don't think it's as crazy as it may seem to try and fight for 19 to be the best show of all time.
Yep, so we'll give... We'll
and I think the 03 bias lingers with people, too, because they think of 03 as a shitty year.
Because 03, I mean, a lot happened in 03, but WrestleMania 19, for whatever reason, I mean, my uncle was ordering a lot of the pay-per-views at that time from like 01 through 03. When I didn't order them, he would order them, and WrestleMania 19 was like legitimately the last pay-per-view he ever ordered. I was a senior in high school, so chasing women seemed more important to me than watching wrestling. So that era is something I'm definitely not as fond of as like 2001. But
I think 19 as well, to me, was always the official, and we'll get to this on the Vince Control at some point. To me, 19 was the end of the Attitude Era. Like, 01 to me is the peak, and you always hear people say 01 was the end of that era. To me, 19, you know, we just did Rumble 02 on the Vintage Vault, and on that we talked about how that kicked off the nostalgia era. So to me, there's like a blending of things. But to me, WrestleMania 19 is like the end of Attitude, because that's when Austin's gone, Rock is gone. We have Kurt and Brock. That style's now kind of in vogue, and even Kurt is hit or miss throughout 03, gets hurt, and it really becomes like the Brock show. You know, we start to see the ascension of Jericho and Benoit and those guys. Triple H takes over in a different role than we're used to him seeing. Like, even the Attitude, Triple H is kind of gone. Now we get more of the cerebral, you know, suit-wearing Triple H. So to me, that's where the feel of the Attitude Era is really gone. There's no more legit competition, really, at this point. The big, Cena starts his evolution over the next couple shows. So to me, that's where the new era started to kick in.
Yeah, and I don't think you could really, I mean, this gets underplayed, I do think some, but I mean, this is Austin's last match.
Right.
This is arguably...
I think you forget that, I mean, because he's on so much, you know?
Yeah, I mean, some could argue he's the biggest name in WWE history. Certainly should be on any Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. And this is his last match. I mean, there's no... As great at the time the moment felt with Flair at 24, I mean, he's wrestled again. Like, right. Nobody has the clout that Austin does that literally had their last match at a WrestleMania moment. And didn't get...
Shawn Michaels, maybe.
Well, Shawn Michaels, but I think anybody should argue that Austin's a bigger star than Michaels.
Unless you're Kevin
in
Kelly.
WWE history. Well... I still don't think he understood quite what you were asking there, but that's another discussion.
And don't forget, too, it was cool because The Rock finally beat him.
Right.
Beat him. So that was like a big moment, too.
Yeah. I mean, they had a moment. You didn't know at the time that this was the absolute end for Austin.
And Rock, but basically. He's had comebacks, but this is ostensibly the end of his run.
Yeah, yeah. He's not a full-time kind of player. Right. Maybe the Goldberg match the next month, but he's definitely towards the end of the road here.
Right.
So saying all that, we're still going to put 17 ahead.
It's tight, though. But, it's a lot tighter than you may think. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think it's worth the argument. When I went to this project, I was looking for reasons why 17 may not be number one, because it's always the shoo-in. And
I mean, I'll say this. If I'm close. Picking one of those shows to put in, I may edge towards 19 more of the time.
Do we just want to be goofy and
No, it's fine. No, I think, I mean,
everybody wins. It's a tie.
I'm just telling you that. I'm just saying personally, if I'm picking one to watch, I may lean to. But you know what that might be too, is that I've seen 17 more. So I may feel like I want to watch something a little bit more fresh to me as 19. Maybe if I've worn out 19 as much as I had 17, I'd feel differently.
Well, I'm watching this Rock Austin match from 19 as we just hashed this out, and that is some fantastic storytelling, the last half of that match.
Oh, it's so
without
good.
Without having the volume up, I mean, just seeing the emotion, not even overacting, I would say, but just everything spot on. So it's cool. But yeah, so we'll put.
I mean, I think
ahead.
The thing with 19 too is, it's one where you could argue it legitimately had like three main events, which you don't get a lot of those early manias like recent years. So I mean, you could really argue you have three matches on the level of what could have been considered a main event to sell the show. Like Hogan Vince was a really big match at the time. They had never fought. It was like a huge history. Remember, they did all the pieces with Bob Costas and all the guys doing the, you know, picking who's going to win. And they went back through the history, who was more important to the promotion. And that was really cool. And you had the Piper return, like you said, which was awesome. Rock Austin could have easily been the main event of the show. Their final showdown, Rock, you know, trying to beat him, Hollywood Rock, which is arguably his best character. So you had all this stuff going into that one. And then, of course, Brock Kurt, which was the main event, which earned the spot to be the main event. I can only imagine how good the match would have been if Kurt was completely healthy. It would have been even probably way better. But as is, it's still a phenomenal match. You have, you know, if you know the backstory watching it, it's even crazier to watch when you know how banged up he was and how close to death or paralyzation he was. And then
that's one
the
I need to
too.
Rewatch.
Yeah, and then the finish. I really would like you to watch that, Chad, and see what you think of that versus Austin Rock. I mean, I know you really think whatever mental block I have about Austin Rock just is what it is at this point. But to me, I've always felt like Brock Kurt was that changing of an era kind of match. Like Rock Austin at 17 felt like the culmination of that style. Mm-hmm. Whereas Brock Kurt felt like the dawning of a new era.
Yeah, yeah. But didn't, I guess, quite pan out as they planned.
Right,
but,
no, it didn't.
Yeah,
they tried. But it felt like that was the changing of the main event style.
So we'll say if Brock would have hit the shooting star, WrestleMania 19 would have been number one.
No, it's more memorable they didn't hit it. So it makes it memorable.
I hate that botch. I really do. But so we have it, but yeah, so those are really close, and those are two kind of all-timers. I mean, I think those are two of the
I mean, they clearly are cut above the next line, right?
Yeah, to me, I think they're a clear one and two. I mean, I you see lists with three and others mixed in. I think those are the two best WrestleManias when you take out like what the gate was, historical, blah blah blah. So from a match quality, entertainment quality, whatever, just putting in a tape and watching it, those are probably the two choices. So do we want to run down the entire list that we've exhaustively went through here?
Yeah, let's do it from worst to first.
Worst to first. So number 29, we have WrestleMania 2. Number 28, we have WrestleMania 1. Number 27, we have WrestleMania 9. Number 26, we have WrestleMania 4. Number 25 is WrestleMania 11. 24 is WrestleMania 15. 23 is WrestleMania 27. Pains me. 22 is WrestleMania 29. Pains me even more. 21 is WrestleMania 13. 20 is WrestleMania 16. 19 is WrestleMania 12. 18, WrestleMania 25, 17, WrestleMania 14, which pains Ben Morse, 16, WrestleMania 5, 15, WrestleMania 18, 14, WrestleMania 6, 13, WrestleMania 3, 12 is WrestleMania 26, which we have above three, just for the record. 11, WrestleMania 22. 10, WrestleMania 24. Number 9 is WrestleMania 28. Number 8 is WrestleMania 7. Number 7 is WrestleMania 23. Number 6, WrestleMania 21. Number 5, WrestleMania 8. Number 4, WrestleMania 20. Number 3 is WrestleMania 10. Number 2, WrestleMania 19. And our number 1 WrestleMania of all time is WrestleMania 17. I think a really unique list. I think we defended our answers here, even though this looks very unconventional. We could probably do this again tomorrow and have a slightly different list. But
tomorrow, WrestleMania 13 could finish number one because that is the greatest match of all time.
So that's the beauty of this argument. But I am glad that we did not do, you know, a standard conventional list. I'm proud of what we.
So let me put you guys on the spot. Where do you see 30 landing on this?
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so,
a good question. Okay.
So high end with 30 is, I think, tricky. Because I'm not seeing an all-timer classic match. So that's tough for me. Now,
and
maybe
what has the highest? Yeah, Triple H Bryan.
Triple H Bryan, to me, has the highest plateau that could. It could. Has the ceiling that could make it. But, I mean, is it going to be better? I mean, where that peaks out at for me is probably Triple H Taker from 27 or even maybe Punk Taker from last year. So I would say this show this year, if it has the great Bryan moment, which we think at the end, it has a super Triple H Bryan match that's, I don't even know what would be the best match for that, but I mean, I think Triple H is going to get a lot of that match, which kind of, to me, hurts it, because a lot of times Triple H on top's not my most interesting match structure to go on.
It's funny, because Triple H on top is usually Scott's favorite.
Right, that's his favorite.
What a softball Chad Campbell threw right there.
But yeah, so that's what hurts that, and then Brock Taker to me is an insane wild card. I mean, I don't know. Me and Brad have been shitting on that for 8 months, but
it would not be a Brad and Chad episode if we did not take the time to shit on the Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker match. So I'm glad you asked that, because
actually Bray Cena may have the most ceiling.
You're
because
right.
I mean, Bray just came out of this great match with Bryan at Rumble.
Which holds up, by the way. I was watching it on the stream the other day.
I actually watched that Thursday, too, at work, and it was good. Yeah. So he just came out of that. I mean, well, it was better than good. It's great. It's like 4 stars on rewatch for me. So he came out of that. He looked great in the 6-man at Elimination Chamber. So maybe Cena will get something just fantastic out of him. But I still don't see it. I mean, I don't think it's going to reach... Could it be better than WrestleMania 24? Yeah, I could see that.
Right, so we're probably looking at a peak of maybe like 8th would be the highest it would be.
Yeah, like not top 5, I don't think.
No, I don't think we could touch those.
So that's not bad, but I don't know.
What's its floor? I mean, I think its floor is down...
His floor is probably hovering around last year's, kind of in that area.
If Bryan beats Triple H and wins the title, I think that alone will put it the moment. We'll bump it higher. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree.
Yes,
right. If everything that, and I think there's a high chance that's going to go to plan.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, overall, I'd say it's a little disappointing, though, because... You know, you had grander visions this time last year of like Brock Cena, Brock Rock, Cena Taker, kind of those iconic type matches. And then they have the roster where if they could have had a work rate match on top of that, you really could have mimicked like a WrestleMania 19 type thing where you have... Brock Rock kind of have their last battle, like Austin and Rock. You have Cena Taker in the Hogan Vince slot as like the nostalgia act, but could probably still go. And then if you could put a work rate, you know, I mean, if Punk,
you could even do Brian Orton for the title.
Yeah, well, even let's say like really fantasy booking, but let's say Punk doesn't walk. You put Punk, Brian, and just give them 30 minutes on top to let them go balls to the wall. I mean, those three fairly conceivable matches a year ago now, you know, obviously are dashed away, and that could have been absolutely fantastic. That could have been the best WrestleMania of all time if it had worked out, but we'll see. I mean, I'm excited to go just to see Brian's coronation, but I think it's more about it's definitely more about the moment than from like a match quality for me this year. So,
agreed.
Alrighty. Well, this was fun. Kinda.
But, you bet.
Parting words, Brad.
Have a good time at WrestleMania. Again, good luck with the newest addition to your family, and we will be. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about afterwards, and we should do this more often.
Yeah, this was not bad on a Saturday night to hash it out.
Late Saturday. No, it was a lot of fun. It was good to get the band back together and kind of cap off our Rewind series, although I think we've got maybe one more to come. I think we did a good job. Like you said, Jay, we built a very interesting list. I think it was a swift couple hours that we blew through here. And Mania season is always fun for this kind of stuff. So we only got a week left in it. We've had a lot of Mania content on the site, so check that out. And a big week coming post-Mania, obviously, as well. So, Brad, I'm hoping to see you this weekend. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, holding out hope. Hopes that you're going to pull into my driveway Sunday morning.
I'm going to call you late at Saturday night and tell you to come pick me up at the airport.
Yes, I'll do it anytime. Sunday morning or Saturday night, I'll be there to get you.
So,
now I'm going to look at flights while we're wrapping up.
For God's sake. So bring the debate. Interesting list I think we built here, but I think we hashed it out and we can talk it out on the Facebook page. So for Brad and Justin, this is Chad Campbell signing off. Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.